The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tuesday edition, a happier happy hour. And I think the nation may have dodged a bullet this morning, Dom. Supreme Court arguments taking place. I did watch some of the coverage in real time. They do now play out the arguments. And the Supreme Court seemed very skeptical of efforts to restrict access to the abortion pill. A majority of the justices, according to the subheadline at the Post, seemed to doubt the anti-abortion doctors had legal standing to challenge rules on mifepristone. Now, in light of the Dobbs ruling and the fact that abortion is legal, a lot of the abortive care, and I'm not trying to be an expert on this topic, certainly, and I would encourage the Supreme Court members not to pretend like they are experts either. Kentaji Brown Jackson sort of lit up, I think it was Alito earlier today, a line of questioning basically laid it out. You ain't an expert. The FDA is. They have scientists here. This went through a gold standard approval process. And now you're going to change it all? You're going to question the science? You, judge? How are you qualified to question the science? And at one point, I'm not sure which of the conservatives, but they went, maybe it was Alito, a bridge too far for him in this regard. There have been a number of injunctions he talked about. There had never been a district court injunction that had stopped anything nationally through Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And this last 2 years, some very compressed timeline, there have been 40 national rulings. He's like, why would this district court think they have the temerity to set the tone for the whole nation? That's not the way it's supposed to work. So that sort of skepticism met these arguments today. And the question of standing is going to kill their arguments. These supposed doctors that object to mifepristone have the right to conscientiously object in their own states, meaning they don't have to administer this abortion drug, antifeasin, I think they call it. They don't have to give it. So why in the hell would they have standing to block it administered by other doctors?
Well,
not them.
If they don't give it, and I think one of the issues also was that nurse practitioners were also allowed to give this out. But besides that, listen, it's a bunk case to begin with from my reading of this. But their position, to my understanding, is that, well, I mean, even if we don't give it out, the patient takes it, and a small percentage, depending on what statistics you look at, of those women who take this pill come in with cramping or go to the emergency room with different sort of issues. And then at that point, they would have to, deal with it. And that's why it's a very problematic form. Of course, it's all bunk. It's all just a matter of trying to, tell women what to do with their bodies. And it's another chapter in the same book. So, I mean, I heard a little bit of the arguments today, did a little bit of the reading on this conversation. I agree with you. It sounds like it would be, something that the Supreme Court would reject based on standing alone. But this is the same court that gave us Dobbs. So until that comes down, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Here's how the Post is reporting it, Washington Post. The Supreme Court on Tuesday seemed unlikely to limit access to mifepristone, a key medication that is used in more than 60% of U.S. abortions and has emerged as the next front in the battle over how and whether women can terminate their pregnancies. During nearly 2 hours of oral argument, a majority of the justices from across the ideological spectrum expressed skepticism that the anti-abortion doctors challenging the Food and Drug Administration's loosening of regulations for the long-approved medication have suffered the type of direct harm that would give them sufficient legal grounds to bring the lawsuit. That's the standing issue, right, Dom? And the Biden administration and drug manufacturers urged the justices to reverse a lower court ruling that would make it more difficult to access mifepristone in a case that centers on the role of government agencies in regulating medicine and returns the issue of abortion to the high court less than 2 years after the conservative majority overturned Roe v. Wade. Oh, yeah, that issue. Several justices, including Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Gorsuch, Ketanji Brown Jackson, seemed interested in a narrow ruling that would not address the underlying regulatory or safety question in the case, but would retain existing levels of access that allow patients to use mifepristone later into pregnancy and obtain the medication directly by mail. Gorsuch, a member of President Donald Trump, a nominee of Trump, well, he's a member of the MAGA cult, joined Jackson, a nominee of Biden, in emphasizing that the Supreme Court often says its rulings should address the alleged harm at issue and go no further. Well, I'm glad that Gorsuch suddenly found restraint. Where was that last year with Dobbs, buddy? This case seems a prime example of turning what could be a small lawsuit into a nationwide legislative assembly on an FDA rule or any other federal government action, Gorsuch told the attorney representing the Organization of Anti-Abortion Doctors. Jackson said there is a significant mismatch between the claims made by the anti-abortion doctors and their lawsuit, and here's her quote, seeking an order preventing anyone from having access to these drugs at all. And since the Supreme Court eliminated the nationwide right to abortion in 2022, medications to terminate pregnancies have increased in importance because patients can get them by mail and take them at home, including in states that have severely limited or banned abortions. You know, think Wisconsin, Dom. They have been targeted in litigation for the same reasons.
If the justices allow last year's appeals court ruling to stand, mifepristone would still be available in the United States, but patients would have to obtain it in person, not by mail, and could only use it up to 7 weeks into pregnancy, even in states where abortion is legal.
That seems like a restraining sort of notion, Dom, tremendously.
I want to jump down here just a bit to get to my point with regards to the claimants, the doctors who have an issue with this. Again, from the Washington Post. The individuals behind the lawsuit do not use this product, do not prescribe this product, and have a conscious right not to treat anyone who has taken this product, said Danco attorney Jessica Ellsworth. Those individuals want to prevent anyone else from using it in line with FDA's considered scientific judgment. Erin Hawley, an attorney for the mifepristone challengers, said her clients who oppose abortion on moral and religious grounds suffer conscious harms when they have to intervene to treat a patient who experiences a complication after taking the medication. The doctors, quote, object not only to taking the life of an unborn child during an elective abortion, but also to completing that process, Hawley, a senior attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, a Christian conservative legal organization, said. But several justices, including Barrett and Lenny Kagan, pushed back on the statements from doctors included in the group's court filings, asking for examples of when Hawley's clients were enlisted to provide objectionable emergency treatment. You need a person to be able to come in and meet the court's regular standing requirements, Kagan told Hawley. So who's your person? After Hawley pointed to the objections of two specific doctors, Barrett followed up saying it was unclear whether they had personally been enlisted in an emergency to perform an abortion. A quote from Barrett. The difficulty here is that, at least to me, these affidavits do read more like a conscious objection is strictly to actually participating in the abortion to end the life of an embryo or fetus. Barrett said, adding that she did not interpret the doctor's statements to say they ever participated in that. The lawsuit was brought by the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, a group of anti-abortion doctors, and some individual physicians. They filed it in Texas, where the only sitting federal judge is Matthew Kaczmarek, a Trump nominee, well known for his longstanding opposition to abortion. The judge sided with the challengers last April and suspended the approval of mifepristone, which was first cleared for use in the United States in 2000. It was the first time a judge suspended long-term approval of a medication despite opposition from the FDA and the drug's manufacturer. The ruling embraced language used by anti-abortion activists referring to abortion providers as abortionists and to fetus and embryos as unborn humans.
Dom, back to the oral arguments earlier today. During the questioning of these, I'm going to read some of what Alito asked, and he was questioning the attorney representing Dinko, her name Jessica Ellsworth. During the questioning of the Solicitor General, the statement was made that no court has ever previously second-guessed the FDA's, and I'm sure I don't have the proper contemptuous tone in my voice. I can't really do an Alito. I haven't heard him enough. But the statement was made that no court has ever previously second-guessed the FDA's judgment about access to a drug, right? Alito said, do you think the FDA is infallible? That was the question he asked. We don't think the question is really teed up in any way to this case, Ellsworth replied. Moments later, Jackson responding to Alito's question by asking about the scientific knowledge of judges.
Yeah.
So you were asked if the agency is infallible, and I guess I'm wondering about the flip side, which is, do you think the courts have a specialized scientific knowledge with respect to pharmaceuticals? And as a company that has pharmaceuticals, do you have concerns about judges parsing medical and scientific studies? You know, like stuff they don't really know about. I think we have significant concerns about that. And there are two amicus briefs before the pharmaceutical industry that expand on why exactly that's so concerning for pharmaceutical companies who do depend on the FDA's gold standard review process to approve their drugs and then be able to sell their products in line with that considered judgment. In other words, Alito, you ain't no scientist, man. Shut the beep up. I often feel like that speaking with you, Doug.
Come back. Thank you, Michael.
More Devils. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Call us up on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Dom, breaking news. Your girl, Rona McDaniel, don't call her Romney, she's out. She got fired by NBC News. That didn't take long.
What?
After the network's anchors launched an unprecedented on-air rebellion. They had one last night as well on the MSNBC. Morning Joe said he ain't having her. A lot of them said they ain't having it. NBC News on Tuesday, that's today, Dom, ousted former Republican National Committee Chair Rona McDaniel just days after her hiring as a paid political analyst. Now, it's got to make you reconsider your hiring process. It really does. But apparently, the hiring of McDaniel, Dom, sparked intense political backlash from the network's top television anchors over McDaniel's role in subverting the 2020 election. Oh, yeah, and the attacks on the press, crooked media, and all that stuff, Dom. There's no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news group, said NBC Universal News Group President Cesar Conde in a memo to the staff. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Rona McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. Hired and fired, she appeared on one show, Dom. I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt like we let them down. You let them down.
Well, back down.
This was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team. I approved it and take full responsibility for it. Other people's fault, but, you know, buck stops here. Ahead of the network's decision, McDaniel spent the day Tuesday interviewing attorneys in preparation for a potential legal battle with NBC. A person familiar with the matter told CNN, my source, creative artist agency, the talent agency that brokered McDaniel's deal with NBC, also parted ways with her. So her agency fired her as well, Dom. We know it's hard to find a good agent. The reversal comes after journalists and anchors at both NBC and the cable news sibling MSNBC publicly denounced the decision to hire McDaniel as a paid analyst in a stunning and unprecedented on-air rebuke of network brass that has embarrassed the Peacock Network. And McDaniel, who recently stepped down under pressure, they say, from the former President Donald Trump's, the RNC, under pressure from former President Trump, was involved in attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. I think they mean Trump, not McDaniel in this case. What say you?
McDaniel literally said at the J6 testimony that the RNC was there to help. The Trump campaign took lead, and they were there to help. Help what? Help try to overturn the election. Journalist Aaron Rupar said this. I follow that guy on Twitter. You should follow us on Twitter at Devil Radio. Rona's NBC tenure lasted less than a Scaramucci.
Oh,
first referring to Trump's ex-communications director who got fired 10 days after his appointment. Less than a Scaramucci, man.
It was like a tenth of a Scaramucci.
Is it now McDaniel? It's a McDaniel now? Does she become a thing? This is really interesting. Obviously, we talked about lots of consternation. Rachel Maddow went off. A bunch of the hosts went off. And I agree with them, every one of them. But, I mean, the buck stops here. So what is the consequence of that decision? I mean, as far as I can tell, I mean, they might get sued by McDaniel.
Okay. That's just a monetary issue.
What the terms of the agreement were. Presumably there was some sort of employment contract. I don't know how it worked out, but maybe there was something there that, you know, they had to go against their contract, or they, you know, decided to take the risk and fire her and just let the cars fall where they may. But where's the consequence for the folks who were instrumental in hiring her? Because what I would tell you is Caesar Setti
apologized.
There's been a lot of conversation about MSNBC and NBC News in the last 48 hours. You know what I mean? I mean, don't you kind of wonder how that's playing out? So I've seen some folks wonder, hey, maybe we're all getting played. This is all done by them to, you know, shake it up a little bit. And we're the ones that are just, you know, here being entertained. I have a hard time believing if you're in any sort of hiring capability in a corporation like that at that level, that you didn't know there would be, I don't know, pushback on this. So while I'm not a conspiracy guy, it makes me wonder what the real motivation and point of all this was.
What would you imply it is? You think this was just a stunt and they hired and fired her for a stunt?
I think it's certainly possible.
No, I discount your theory.
Did you get it all figured out, Creedy? Yeah, would you have hired her? You don't know squat about squat. You've never run a organization like that hiring with that kind of level. Would you have made that hire?
Let me point out to you. I have done a few programming decisions in my life. if you are aware for a network, and I can tell you, Dom. All those things. They're very difficult decisions made at the highest level by experts. But sometimes.
Would you have made that call, man? Come on. Of course not.
Well, I wouldn't have hired her.
I don't believe you
would. But have I ever made a controversial hire? Have I even considered some controversial hires just to stir the pot? Absolutely, man. That's what media is all about.
Absolutely. If you've done that yourself and the role that you have played.
Not Rona McDaniel.
How could you then, if you think that yourself, why would you? You're the only one who would make a controversial hire to stir the pot. You think that's the only idea belongs to Crudy? You just said it, man.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not.
But you got to have standards and certain lines you won't cross. We used to bring Ron Johnson around to stir the pot up on this show once in a while. Like 25, 26 times we invited the center, and he came and he showed up and he did interviews. And then the January 6th happened. And we drew a different line in the sand. Sure, and we said
that's different from a paid contributor or someone who's employed on the staff. You just said it yourself. Have you ever considered making a hire to stir the pot?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, then you absolutely discount my suggestion that maybe that someone else would have had that idea at NBC.
Oh, I absolutely think that that was their bright idea, but I think it was a terrible idea. And I don't think the stunt was to hire and fire. That's very embarrassing. I mean, that's not how you do it. If you're going to hire her and you're doing it for a stunt, you're just, then let her go out there and get publicly flogged a little bit longer. I mean, let it be a train wreck. Let it be a car crash. Let people tune in and watch her burn.
Different styles.
Let her be the Joan of Arc of your network. Let her burn.
If you bring them on to fire them in a month or a week or a day, it's still the same thought process, man.
Well, yeah. We all get fired someday, Dom. Yeah. We all get fired someday. The tenure, you know, longer for some than others. We've been making the greatest radio show ever for 13 years. 13! Going on 13. That's a little longer than the Scaramucci, let's say.
Yeah. Or McDaniel.
But, you know, we've mostly clung to this position by trying to be our own bosses and not having executives or feedback that, you know, we depend upon for our livelihoods. You know, because there are days when I'm pretty sure the audience would fire your ass in a heartbeat. 844-967-2789. In fact, today could be that day. If you want to fire Dom, call right now.
844-967-2789. Bring it.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Sometimes the host has to get fired, and today might be Dom's day. We're taking a poll. 844-967-2789. You have his career in your hands.
Yeah. you poor people. That's not much of a career.
It truly isn't. But it's so high paying.
Yeah.
Mark from Sussex, welcome. What do you got for us? Should Dom be fired like your girl, hey, Rona McDaniel Romney?
Thanks for taking my call there, gentlemen. But no, Dom should not be fired. Although you would probably save a lot of money on your alcohol expenses, the way it sounds. So
it's really more than his salary, Mark.
So I guess what a great couple days here for Trump. He just keeps getting richer and richer with this whole truth. What's the interest on $3 or $4 billion, you think? I mean, on an annual basis, is that
do you think that stock price will hold, Mark? Because, you know, when you look at the underlying, they're basically valuing the corporation at 2,000 times earnings. Like Google is trading at like 9 times earnings. Do you think Truth Social is worth that valuation, sir? Do you think it'll hold up on the long end?
I do not. But even if it's only $1 billion, it's still a B as in billion.
But what if it's a million?
No, but I agree with you. I don't
right.
Because this is very speculative, Mark, and I don't disagree. Perceptually, Donald Trump's killing it this week. His meme stock, as they're calling it, because there is no underlying reason to buy the stock. You're doing so because you're a fan of Trump, right? That seems to be the rationale. And the stock is up like 30%. And if I were a betting man, Mark, and a day trader, I'd be shorting that stock. Oh, I'd be betting against that valuation.
Absolutely. And then that's, and it's just not Trump back people that are buying it. That's all your hedge funds. That's all
no.
people that know what they're doing.
Come on, man. You never struck me as naive.
I have no doubt. If you get into something, whatever the speculation is, whatever the underlying thing is, there's folks that are out there that will gamble, Mark. I totally get that. But I would imagine most folks are going to take the short. They're going to do the puts. They're going to think it's going to go down because the underlying numbers, which really what it comes down to, once you get beyond the grift and once you get beyond the hype, all you have left with are earnings, and there ain't none, Mark. And if you look at the track record of Donald Trump, I mean, how are the steaks? How are the vodkas? How's the airline? Yada, yada, yada. I mean, if anything, I'll give you this. Trump has made money while he's scammed other people, and other people lost lots of money on his endeavors. I guess if you consider that good business, well, it's making money. I don't know if I would call it good business, Mark.
Mark, I will bet you a steak dinner at your choice of restaurants, and I'm not a cheap bastard like Dom, but I will buy you a steak dinner if 6 months from the day, you know, the cash out day, if that stock valuation of Donald Trump's is worth anywhere close to $3 billion. I'm saying it's way less than $1 billion, way less. Mark, I think this stock will crash within a matter of weeks.
Crudy, it's still $1 billion.
It's a piece of paper until you can sell it for something, sir. I mean, that's like me taking it.
No, I get that. I understand how it works.
My lake house is worth $1 billion, but I can't sell it for that. I can't sell it at all. I mean, the guy's hogtied by his own corporate bylaws.
Well, and he might
should
be.
I mean, he's the namesake of the Truthy Social. If he turns around and wants to mass sell his stock, that corporation's just going belly up, and all the stockholders are going to sue him because that wouldn't be a fiduciary action on behalf of the corporation. He's got to do not just what's in the best interest of Donald Trump, but what's in the best interest of all the stockholders. And he might own 60, but the 40% will sue his ass if he crashes this stock by cashing out.
And that's why I said today.
He's having a hell of a day today.
With $3 or $4 billion versus, man, by the way, it went up 56% today, so, which is unbelievable.
Are you buying the stock, Mark? Honestly. Come on, be honest.
Zero chance.
Yeah, exactly, man. So, you know, this is a hypothetical conversation, but, you know, let's all join Robinhood and dive right into that Trump SPAC, right?
Well, again, I appreciate the call there, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't believe he doesn't want to fire you. 844-967-2789. Let's keep her moving.
Let me throw this out there, man. Trump Media Technology Corporation, according to Yahoo Finance, is up almost 7% in after-hours trading, just under $62 a share.
That's just the bump Mark gave him on the Devil's Advocate show. Buy. I don't normally give stock advice, but if you're a MAGA, please invest what you can in the DJT.
That's a bad idea.
Blue Endicott loves DJT. I thought it was Endicott Steel, actually. But anyways, I confused that movie. It's been a long time since I watched Wall Street. 844-967-2789. Trucker Dean headed to Augusta. Keep her between the lines, Trucker Dean.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm going to try here, but I'll do all right. Dom, you're safe with me. You've got no problems. This long hair has got to stick together, you know?
All right. Appreciate that, man.
But if you want to get, Crudy, you want to get up and make a little noise like MSNBC, I think you should hire CJ as your call screener. At least for a couple of days.
Let CJ screen him?
Yeah, why not?
Well, that would really offend everybody else, though, Trucker Dean. You wouldn't have made it to the airwaves today. You'd still be arguing with the man.
Now, Dean, if we're going to do the thing, then he'd have to actually be on the air with us. You'd be like, hey, Trucker Dean, welcome to the show. We got Dom, we got the crew, da-da-da. What do you got to say about the CJ? And then he'd be able to, you know, give you his thoughts. And much
Benghazi!
Like, much like McDaniel.
Hunter's email.
It may not be exactly what you thought it would be.
I would just like to see him in the same room together like that.
Well, I've been in the same room with the guy. He'll show up at the bar events.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you serve beer, you can't keep that guy away.
Well, but you got to get rid of him too. Wait. In your office then.
I'll never leave.
Trucker Dean, appreciate you. 844-967-2789. Uncle Mike from Madison. I didn't even know I had an Uncle Mike. Welcome. What do you got for us?
What's up, Uncle Mike?
Well, a couple things, gentlemen. First of all, I think it was, four, six, 8 weeks ago, Dom was running the show by himself, and I know I speak for millions and millions of listeners. He did a pretty damn good job.
I think it should be like that every day then. Don't you, Dom? I'll throw myself on the petard. I will quit for the sake of the show. Mike, you're stuck with him.
Wait. I don't want to say that. Let's not go crazy.
But yeah, that's good. Come on, man. We're not saying that.
Well, I'm sure that sometime on Twitter today that Elon Musk is going to type in Trump stonk and as in game stonk, you know?
Yeah. Trump I remember stonk. When he gave the big
You're
boost.
Supposed to be laughing at that. I'm very disappointed.
I'm laughing on the inside, Uncle Mike.
You sucked Dom's sense of humor right out of him trying to find
See?
Him. The guy can't even laugh anymore.
I know, man. It's just so much pressure, Mike. It's tough to deal with this in the work environment when, you know, I'm on the fence all the time. Am I going to have a job? Am I not?
And I've lifted the funny here, man. You got to do funnier.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put this in my review. I can tell you that right now.
It's going to go down in your permanent record.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Uncle Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank God we're not on Yelp.
967-2789-84496 Party Joe from Madison. You're next. Welcome, Joe. What do you got today?
Hey, Joe.
Well, I am struck by the line that you had a bit ago, Dom, where you said, I have been fortunate in my friends. And boy, that just really hit me today. I think you're a lucky man. You're a lucky man to be able to make that statement. And I'm assuming that that Crude is still one of those friends.
Well, technically, Joe, what he said is, I'm lucky to have generous friends, which I take by process of elimination to mean, if there's a cheap bastard amongst us, just might be him.
I thought he just said, I am fortunate in my friends, not whether
That's
they
what
were
I
generous
said, yes,
or
yeah.
not.
Well, yeah. Well, that indeed is true. He's very, very lucky in friendships.
Well, I'm going to be a little bit nostalgic and a little bit kind of melancholy here when I say that, because you guys have been through hard times. You've been through good times. You've been since college days. Yesterday, or a couple days ago, you spoke about that and how it's still always the spirited discussions and the fun. And you provide an excellent example of friends who can dish it up and fence with each other and still keep the friendship going. And that's an extraordinary gift. And I think it's so lucky for you guys and provides such a wonderful example, because with all this attention on Trump, there's a guy who has no friends. Everybody for him is just transactional. Either you're helping me out, making money, or you're gone in revenge. I mean, it's a guy who can't even manage to have a dog. He can't even manage a pet. And I guess swinging back to something that's happening in today, that awful situation in Baltimore where the bridge collapsed, and it's obviously the loss of life and is terrible. But it's also going to be a huge blow to the economy and to people with jobs in that area. There are tons of people.
Very
who,
traveled.
One of the busiest.
Yeah, go ahead. Busiest northeastern corridor bridges.
Yeah, one of the biggest ports, active ports in the country. And so the blow that has been dealt today, this day, in terms of that tragedy, just, sharpens it even a little bit more to say, if a person is able to say, I have been fortunate in my friends, man, you are, both of you are very, very lucky. So I just wanted to throw that into the mix. So don't fire him. Don't fire him. No.
Well, okay. He's more fortunate than I in our friendships.
Thank you for the very kind words, Joe. Certainly appreciate your perspective always. 844-967-2789. 27.
Why did no one stand up and say, don't fire Crudy?
Well, that wasn't the question, man. You gotta pose it differently. I woke up this morning, and first thing you see is this bridge and the CC cameras and the video of it, and looks almost slow motion. I mean, what a disaster. I watched it a few times. I kind of zoomed in, and you realize there's trucks on that bridge, there's people on that bridge, and apparently they were filling some potholes, and they had, as I was watching it a few times, it looks like they had, municipal cars with their trucks or whatever with the lights on them, because, they're doing their work on the bridge. And apparently still six of those highway workers are still missing. And just a horrible tragedy all the way around. And I think what will be interesting is to see how we as a country certainly come around to fix this issue. Infrastructure, obviously a big issue here.
Joe Biden already came out and said the federal government will pay for the replacement. This bridge will be rebuilt quickly with alacrity. And I saw Amy Klobuchar and obviously Minneapolis, Minnesota also affected by the tragedy of a fallen bridge, different circumstance. Yeah. That bridge was fully replaced, according to Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar, 13 months.
Yeah, real quick. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that kind of effort. Federal, certainly the workers and the communities come together and fund it and do the work and make it happen. And then there's the other side. Alex Jones and Mike Flynn talking about, was it terrorism? And there's a cyber attack coming next. And World War III has already started. And all these kinds of, just nonsensical, unproven, no evidence thereof of that. But that's where they go to. That's their place. And I thought that was just, given the circumstances of this and no proof or evidence of any of that. Apparently, they lost power. They lost the ability to steer that ship. And they did a mayday prior to hitting that. And it seems like an unfortunate accident. But don't tell that to Alex Jones or Mike Flynn.
What about Aaron Jones? What do you think he thinks happened?
Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. My bad. Damn it. Now I got to get fired. More fire Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Some say the greatest radio show ever, but it's our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, you want to be a part, join us right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around. Our pals over at Busted Pencils are coming up next.
I'm just enjoying a few of the text lines, Dom. Here's one. A question. Crudy may not be cheap, but are you easy? I'm a little insulted you don't know the answer to that question.
The answer is yes. Might not be cheap. I might be cheap, but I ain't easy. I might not be cheap, but I ain't easy. How's it go?
You're both cheap and easy.
I make it up on volume.
844-967-2789. Dom, when you're really trying to grift, and someone I saw tweeted at us at the Devil Radio, and they said, this DJT stock, this is like the laundromat of the cesspool, right? Everybody's throwing their dirty money in the DJT stock, to show good graces with the old man, because they're hopefully might be the president again. And I think that might be an astute thought, because if the stock is up on DJT, it's not because of the underlying fundamentals. Certainly, Dom. This stock is being valuated at 2,000 times earnings. But, as Mark points out, a good headline week, apparently, to his perception, for Donald J. Trump. It's only a Tuesday. It could change. But here's one. Here's one, Mark. I wonder, what do you think of Trump hawking $60 MAGA Bibles? This is his newest grift. MAGA Bibles. Did you see this, Dom? Let me share some of this with you, with the audience.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
MAGA Bibles.
Remember when he was in front of the church, when he walked through and they cleared the park of all the peaceful protesters with tear gas and he walked over with the general and held the Bible upside down in front of the church. Remember that? I mean, are the crosses going to be upside down in the mega Bible? I'm just not clear.
Social media users were shocked and appalled that Donald Trump was hawking patriotic themed Bibles named after country singer Lee Greenwood. I guess he's proud to be an American, Dom. The former president started off Holy Week by sharing a supporter's post comparing his criminal civil travails, you know, to Christ's crucifixion.
Totally the same.
Too bad. I mean, and the timing couldn't be any more conspicuous. It's the Holy Week and Trump's being persecuted. They're taking Trump Tower. And anyways, that was the analogy, I guess. But he followed up Tuesday by promoting the God Bless the USA Bible, Dom, named after Greenwood's enduring 1984 chestnut. Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again. See what he did there?
Oh, my goodness.
Make America pray again.
I don't want to join a cult.
He posted on the Truthy socials. This is Trump's post. As we lead into Good Friday and Easter, I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA and Nowhere Else Bible.
I'd like to thank God for this victory.
I believe that was the candidate in the campaign, right? God bless the USA and no place else. The ex-president, that'd be Trump, posted a link to a website selling the Bibles. Oh, what a value, Dom. $59.99. Is that for both Old and New Testaments? Do you get both Testaments?
Can I make multiple payments on that? Yeah, it's a fair question.
Well, Dom, there is a wait for delivery, 4 to 6 weeks. You're going to have to put off your praying for a bit.
I could die and lay and go to hell and rise again by that time.
And the frequently asked questions make clear, Dom, these are the only Bibles endorsed by either Trump or Lee Greenwood. You know, don't get a second-rate King James Bible. Yeah. Can't trust that Bible. Easy to read, large print.
Wait. Easy to read? I mean, do they change the verbiage? I mean, is it Cliff Notes version? Because I tried once, and there's like a lot of like family names laid out in that Bible.
Well, Dom, let me give the description from the website. You know, let me do the marketing on behalf of the Bible. USA Greenwood Bible. Easy to read.
Endorsed by Jesus.
Large print. Slim design.
They took out all the sinning.
They actually took out the New Testament part. The Jesus part. Less down on the Jesus part, these magas. But anyways, the Bible invites you to explore God's word anywhere, anytime. Couldn't I do that on my cell phone? But I mean, anyways.
You could, but it wouldn't be a Trump-endorsed Bible.
Dom, this Bible has been designed so that it delivers an easy reading experience in the trusted, thank God, in the trusted King James Version translation.
That's a good. Is that a good version? I'm not clear. Why would the King James Version be trusted?
I forget why.
Okay.
Right, mostly because it's in English. The King James Version translation. This large print Bible will be perfect to take to church, a Bible study, work, travel, or when you're visiting a porn star you might have to pay off later.
you never know.
The Greenwood theme Bibles include a handwritten chorus to God Bless the USA and copies, as all Bibles do, Dom, of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance. Here is what commentator Keith Olbermann noted. The son of a bitch is now selling Trump Bibles.
Is that a copyright violation? The King James come knocking on that door.
Huffington Post congressional reporter Jonathan Nicholson said, lest you think selling a Bible inspired by Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA song would be a last-ditch cash grab by a guy suddenly needing cash, it appears that there's at least one more ditch. Geez Louise, he's grifting off the Bible now.
Yeah,
your boy Aaron Ruper added, and Trump and Lee Greenwood dropped the product with insane levels of sacrilege in the middle of Holy Week. Laugh out loud. that according to the Bulwark's columnist, Joe Perdicone, naturally it's from the same folks who brought you Trump sneakers. Now I would wonder, is the, oh, it's probably more like a flag, you know, because it's got the Constitution and all. You know, we've got Congressman Mark Pocan coming Thursday, joining us right from the top, from the 4 o'clock top, the happy hour top. And a week from now, Trump come to Wisconsin, Green Bay. I hope he brings the Lee Greenwood Bibles.
All your prayers have been answered, Mega. Your orange messiah is coming. Bring your $60 for the Trump Bible.
I love you all. I love the USA. God bless America and nowhere else. See you tomorrow on the radio.